Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you from the May 7th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll begin with the first page stories. Villa Grove School Board. School Board holds special meeting by Gabriella Agius. The Villa Grove School Board met on Wednesday, April 23rd and held a public hearing concerning their intent to sell $1,500,000 working cash fund bonds. The board was met by Kendall King of King's Financial Consulting Incorporated to discuss what method the district should use to sell the bond. Methods include selling to a bank, or the district could do a self-purchase of bonds. This would allow the district to keep that bond in-house and collect their own interest. This method can be used should the district have the funds to do so and allows the district to recollect the revenue over time. With evidence-based funding and the tax levy, the district would have the funds to keep the sale in-house. Board members evaluated upcoming costs, and even with the Department of Energy grant funds being tied up, they would still be able to work on part of the roof project. Should something happen during the period of the self-purchase bond, the school can refinance if necessary. Although no vote could be made, the board decided that they would do a self-purchase of the bond over a six-year period. The board approved the acceptance of two donations to the Villa Grove FFA. The first donation is from EDP Wind Farm in the amount of $2,000, and the second is from the Douglas County Agricultural Board in the amount of $500. These funds will go towards scholarships. The board swore in three elected members, Carissa Jones, Charles Mitz-Darfer, and new member Derek Fair. The board also voted on their officers for the year, with Jim Clark remaining as president. Christian White was re-elected as vice president, and Carissa Jones was re-elected as secretary. For the superintendent's report, Dr. Carol Munson wanted to give an update on the usage of the school maintenance program grant. This grant matched $50,000 in funds used for maintenance projects. The district is going to use these funds to renovate lower-level high school bathrooms. When Omni gave an initial quote, the project would have cost around $138,000. However, after looking at the project again, the cost would now be around $238,000. Because of this, Dr. Munson is recommending the board cancel this project and use the grant money on a different project or bid out the grant. For the junior high and high school principals report, Mrs. Sarah Jones reported that Mr. Hunter Dorman received a glowing letter from IHSA after hosting the organizational music contest. This event was held April 11th and 12th at the district. May 13th will be freshman orientation. For the elementary principal's report, Mr. Bobby Beck reported that the Millionaire Club has been a hit with students this year. This club requires students to read 1 million words in one school year. 14 students have already hit a million, with four of those students having read 2 million words. Students who achieve these goals receive a blinged-out dollar necklace and a Barnes & Noble gift card. Second through sixth grades are measured on words read and comprehension using Accelerated Reader. Beck reported that students have read 74 million words so far this year and have an 85% comprehension score. Last year, students read 59 million words with a rate of 75% comprehension rate. Upcoming events for the elementary include the fourth through sixth grade spring concert on April 29th, Field Day on May 2nd for kindergarten through third grade, Blue Devil Classic on May 9th, and Special Olympics competition at EIU on April 25th. The board will meet again on May 19th at 6 p.m. in the high school library. The next article, Arcola City Council. Council appoints new alderman by Ben Crane. The Arcola City Council appointed Gilberto Moreno as alderman of Ward 1, replacing Jose Becerra at their first meeting of May. Jesus Garza as mayor, Carol Turner as city clerk, Rita Anderson as treasurer, Scott Hensley as alderman for Ward 2, and Matthew Henson as alderman for Ward 3 were all sworn in again after winning their re-election campaigns. The council also approved a number of mayoral appointments, starting with the committee appointments. Aldermen Stephanie Helmuth, Brett Budd, and Terry Foran were appointed to employee relations, and Henley, Budd, and Helmuth were appointed to finance and budget. Moreno, Hensley, and Henson were appointed to both health, sanitation, and trash and recycling, along with municipal building and grounds. Foran, Helmuth, and Morno were appointed to parks, streets, and alley, while Henson, Hensley, and Foran were appointed to police, ordinance, and enforcement. Finally, Bud, Foran, and Morno were appointed to sewer, water, and water hearings. Bill Wagoner was appointed as zoning officer, Andrew Petty as city attorney, Garza as liquor commissioner, Nick Suding as civil defense director, Jim Crane as motor fuel tax engineer, Turner as budget officer, and Anderson as city collector. The council also approved $2,914,000 bid for sanitary sewer improvements on the west side of the city from B&T Drainage. We're replacing sewer lines in a targeted area on the west side of town, said Wagoner. A $234,000,000 bid from Graber Buildings Incorporated was also approved for the construction of the concession stand at the baseball and softball complex. The council approved a $61,000 five-year lease from First Neighbor Bank in Arthur at 4.25% interest rate for a police squad car. And finally, the council approved the adoption of the consulting engineer agreement, municipal estimate of maintenance cost, and resolution of maintenance cost, which amounted to an estimated $260,000, which will be split between estimated $155,000 out of the motor fuel tax and $100,000 from the city. The next article, Kevin Garza claims EIU's top entrepreneurship prize by Ben Crane. Eastern Illinois University senior Kevin Garza turned his sneaker reselling side hustle into a winning business pitch, claiming the top prize in the annual Bill Skeens Entrepreneurship Competition. The award was the Bill Skeens Entrepreneurship Award, Garza said. He owns several companies and donates money to our entrepreneurship program. Every year he holds a little Shark Tank event. I think he's done it for like 3 years now. As part of EIU's entrepreneurship class, students were required to build a business from scratch, including developing a financial and business plan. For Garza, that business was already up and running, a resale venture called KGKI Kicks, that he launched in high school and grew steadily over the last 4 years. I've been doing it for about 3.5 years, and I've generated good income doing it, he said. I've always kept track of everything, profit, revenues, expenses, with Excel spreadsheets and other apps. Garza's experience operating his business gave him an edge in both confidence and clarity during the pitch. The presentation itself was really smooth, he said. I tend to present very confidently when I know what I'm talking about, and since it was about my business, it really came naturally. Only 5 students from a class of 12 were selected to present at the competition based on peer voting after a round of preliminary pitches. Garza was ultimately rewarded first place, receiving $500 cash prize. Second and third place took home $250 and $150, respectively. His pitch centered on investment, scaling up his inventory, expanding marketing, and building a dedicated website. I pitched the idea of getting some more money to buy more inventory and generate more revenue, he said. Having such a good business without a website is the one thing missing to take it to the next level. Garza also emphasized how much more he could accomplish once he graduates and focuses full-time on KGK Kicks. I do this part-time, he said. I've had a job the last 3 years, and I've also gone to college full-time, but I pitched the idea of graduating next week and being able to do this full-time. I think the judges saw the potential in that. Over the past 4 years, Garza has grown KG Kicks into a reliable, high-volume operation. He estimates moving roughly 500 items each month, mostly shoes, but also clothing, keychains, and other resellable goods. I think that's what helped set me apart, he said. The numbers I've done the past couple of years kind of exceeded other businesses. I've built something that's not really normal. It kind of grew out of proportion and became something I never thought it would. For Garza, the award isn't just recognition, it's fuel for the next step. I'm very humble when it comes to my business, he said, but I do think I deserved first place. The business has become something real, and I'm excited to see where it goes next. And the last first page story, Truex Begins at Hometown Police Department, brings youthful energy and community ties, by Ben Crane. Just months ago, Mark Truex was sitting in a college classroom at Eastern Illinois University, uncertain about his future. Today, the 21-year-old is the newest officer in the Arcola Police Department, fresh out of the Training Academy in St. Louis and already making his mark. I took the semester off because I was kind of confused about what I wanted to do, Truex said. I wasn't really loving college. Then Nick, Chief Nick Suiting, reached out and said there was an opening, and all that really moved really fast from there. Truex's rapid transition from student to officer began with an interview the week before Thanksgiving. By early December, he had passed the physical test for the academy. From there, the path into policing unfolded quickly and decisively. While his career is just beginning, Truex said his interest in law enforcement started much earlier. He did several ride-alongs while in high school, looking to confirm his growing desire to serve in a hands-on, community-focused role. Though he briefly considered becoming a fireman, the dynamic and impactful nature of policing pulled him in. I knew I didn't want a desk job. I wanted something different every day, he said. Even on my second day, it's already clear that no 2 days are the same. Truex credits Suiting for opening the door. He knew I was interested and liked the idea of having someone from Arcola on the force, he said. Not a lot of guys on the force are originally from here besides him. I think it just brings more relatability. That relatability, Truex believes, will be something important when connecting to Arcola's youths. Young kids aren't going to want to talk about personal stuff with someone who can't relate, they can't relate to, he said. But with me being from here, being their age or just a little older, it might help open the door. Even while navigating the challenges of a tough academy and state certification exam, Truex kept one focus in mind, community. Giving back to Arcola was really important to me, he said. As much as hate as it gets sometimes, this community gave a lot to me. Even I'm just chasing someone's dog around for 2 hours, which he did on his second day, I want to be part of something bigger than myself. Truex acknowledges that as the youngest officer on the force, he has to earn the respect of both residents and colleagues. But he sees his age not as a disadvantage, but as a unique asset, one that could help rebuild bridges between law enforcement and the public. In my interview, I said I wanted to help rebuild relationships between the community and the police, he said. I'm not in it for the arrests. I'm in it to motivate and help people, to change lives. If that means making arrests, that's part of it, but I want people to know that I'm here for them. Despite being fresh out of college with only a summer job at a local business under his belt, Truex finds himself in a position of serious responsibility. I didn't see it happening this fast, he said, but I'm glad it did. It's going to set me up for the future. With hometown roots, fresh training, and a drive to serve, Officer Truex is stepping into his new role with humility and purpose. We'll move now to the obituaries. Doris Rich, 82 of Arthur, passed away at 4:41 p.m. on Saturday, May 3, 2025, at a residence surrounded by family. Funeral services will be held at 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday, May 7th at Penn Station in Arthur. Burial will be in the Arthur Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Wednesday at Penn Station. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Janet L. Jurgens Winningham, 87, took the hand of her Lord and Savior Jesus, surrounded by her loving family, at 8:31 p.m. on Wednesday, March 19th at her home. We are heartbroken by her passing, but celebrate her wonderful life. A memorial service honoring Janet's life will be held at Edwards Funeral Home in Arcola on Saturday, May 10th at 4 p.m. Visitation will be 2 hours before the service. Elmer A. Schrock, 84, of Arthur, passed away at 9:51 a.m. on Saturday, May 3rd, 2025 at the Arthur Home. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. on Monday, May 12th at the Sunnyside Mennonite Church, 477 Illinois U.S. Route 133, Arcola. Pastor Brian Petersheim and Pastor Mike Helmuth will officiate. Burial will be in the Sunnyside Mennonite Church Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 2 to 4 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Sunday, May 11th at Sunnyside Mennonite Church. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Robert York, 81, of Arcola, passed away at 4 p.m. on Saturday, May 3rd, 2025, at his son's residence in Arcola. Private family services will be held at a later date. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting the family. Another article, Senate passes Rose-sponsored legislation to control deer population. Out of Springfield, State Senator Chapin Rose, Republican of Mahomet, is helping lead the charge to address Illinois' out-of-control deer population. He joined a bipartisan coalition of senators in securing passage of legislation aimed at protecting farmers and improving safety for drivers. I have a single farmer on the Coles-Edgar County line that lost $45,000 from crop damage just alone because of deer, Senator Rose said. Everyone in the state buys food. At the end of the day, food costs just went up by $45,000, and that's just one single farmer. Imagine the severe economic impact of deer overpopulation statewide and what it does to consumer prices. But this issue is bigger than just the economic hit on our farmers and the price of goods in the grocery store. It's also about public safety. Vehicular collisions with deer are extremely dangerous, and even if you're lucky enough to escape unscathed, chances are your car won't be as lucky, said Senator Rose during the floor debate. Virtually everyone I know has had a near miss with a deer at some point, and many have had an actual impact. You can't put a price tag on human life or injury, but all of us in Illinois are paying higher health insurance, particularly car insurance, because of the out-of-control deer herd in our state, he continued. Senate Bill 710 loosens regulations under the Illinois Wildlife Code to make it easier for landowners and tenants to obtain deer hunting permits. This bill allows the automatic issuance of additional antlerless-only permits for those who show effective population reduction efforts and enables owners and resident tenants of at least 40 acres of commercial farmland to receive hunting permits, both firearm and archery, to use only on that land. This deer population issue is so out of control. It's beyond time we do this, Rose added. It's beyond time we do something reasonable to control the deer population for the economic well-being of our farmers, for the safety of our citizens, and for the health of the deer population itself, and frankly, for the health of our pocketbooks. The measure was negotiated with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources and the Illinois Farm Bureau. Senator Rose serves as chief co-sponsor of the initiative. SB 710 passed the Senate unanimously and now heads to the House of Representatives for further consideration. The next article, Regional Office Recognizes Area Teachers for Excellence. The Regional Office of Education No. 11 announced the recipients of the 2025 Recognition of Excellence Award, honoring outstanding education professionals who exemplify skill, dedication, and an unwavering commitment to inspiring students across the region. Selected from a pool of exceptional nominees, these awardees have earned the respect and admiration of students, parents, and colleagues alike through their leadership, community involvement, and extraordinary ability to ignite a passion for learning in students of all backgrounds and abilities. Nominations for the prestigious award were accepted through February 2025, with each candidate reviewed by a dedicated committee. One professional per school district was chosen to receive this distinguished honor, recognizing their vital contributions to both their schools and communities. The recipients stand out not only for their professional excellence, but also for their active and meaningful roles beyond the classroom, often serving as leaders and role models. Regional Superintendent Dr. Kyle Thompson praised the awardees, stating, "These remarkable individuals remind us that education is not just about imparting knowledge. It's about lighting a spark that fuels curiosity and growth. Their ability to connect with students and inspire them to reach their fullest potential is nothing short of extraordinary," he added. "In a world that constantly changes, these educators are the steady hands guiding our futures, showing us the heart of learning beats strongest when it's driven by passion and purpose." The ROA No. 11 Recognition of Excellence Award celebrates these education professionals for their superior talent in fostering love of learning and their profound impact on the lives of our students and their communities. The Regional Office of Education No. 11 comprises 25 public schools, 4 non-public schools, and other associated regional education programs that together enroll approximately 20,000 students across more than 3,500 square miles of East Central Illinois. Arcola District 306, Amy Lugo. Villa Grove District 302, Sarah Leith. Tuscola District 301, Lucy Diaz. Shiloh District 1, Allison Berry. Oakland District 5, Kevin Huckenstein. And Arthur District 205, Jennifer Schrock. Another article, CEO students show off their services at annual trade show. Illinois Prairie CEO held their annual trade show on Tuesday, April 29th at Building 1225 in Sullivan. Each student in the program showcased their business ideas, ranging from Zoe Conlin's Zoe's Essential natural sugar scrubs, Anon Freeman, Ace Customs, handcrafted resin art and custom jewelry, Brooklyn Gingrich, Brooklyn Studios, photography, Gavin Helmuth, Kickstart Apparel, clothing focused on quality and fashion, Abigail Miller, Rustic Rose, car air fresheners, and Ilza Spracklin, Caring Arts by Izzy Ann, custom drawings of pets and people. These students are from high schools in Douglas and Moultrie counties, including Arthur Lovington, Atwood, Hammond, Arcola, and Sullivan. As a reminder, Illini Prairie CEO, which has been in place for several years and impacted many students' lives, is an economic development program for growing high school students into community businesses and leaders for the future. The group meets often throughout the school year in sites around the two counties, learning from entrepreneurs and business leaders who offer practical advice for becoming success not only in business, but in life. Many of these business leaders and mentors are also graduates of the high schools mentioned. For more information about Illinois Prairie CEO can be found on their Facebook page. Interested students can go to IlliniPrairieCEO.com to find out how to apply for the program. Applications for next year close on June 13th. Emily Coombs of Arcola is the group facilitator. The next article, Arthur's Strawberry Social and Strawberry Jam Festival, May 16th and 17th. So it's that time of year as Arthur is preparing to roll out the strawberry red carpet to welcome social and festival goers to a weekend of fun and sweet eating. What better way to celebrate late spring than with America's favorite fruit? The annual Strawberry Jam Festival will take place on Friday, May 16th and Saturday, May 17th in downtown Arthur and will offer a variety of vendors, great food stands and trucks, and pony rides, Saturday only, for the kids. Strawberries by the quart or flat will be for sale at the corner of Vine and Illinois Streets both days while quantities last. Stores have a wide variety of merchandise and some are having special sales for festival goers. You won't go away empty-handed or hungry. What about the strawberry pies? You can count on a large selection of strawberry pies as hundreds are being made for this year's Strawberry Social at the Auto Center on Friday, May 16th only. The Auto Center is located 1/2 mile straight south of downtown Arthur. They will have a booth set up downtown both days with their delicious pies, whole or slices, available for sale. With 2 quarts of strawberries per pie, the Illinois Specialty Growers Association estimates 54,000 strawberries will be used just for the pies alone. This does not include the number of strawberries used to put on the 1,000 shortcakes, which will be available at the social. There will be an all-day bake sale with freshly made Amish baked goods such as bread, cinnamon rolls, and angel food cakes. Some will be strawberry flavored. Freshly made strawberry shortcake and soft serve strawberry ice cream will be served from 11 a.m. until closing. Evening meal will be held from 4 to closing, cheeseburger, grilled chicken, sandwiches, baked beans, and noodles, with a mini auction at 6 p.m. All proceeds from the sale will benefit the Christian missions in Haiti and support the Haiti Benefit Action held at the Auto Center the weekend of Friday and Saturday, October 24th and 25th. Mark your calendars for this upcoming event. Strawberry Jam Festival Social offers numerous opportunities for everyone to enjoy a favorite fruit, the strawberry, while beginning a season of festivities. Come and enjoy the day, eat, shop, relax, and eat again. For additional information on these events and other Arthur area events, call 217-543-2242 and visit the Arthur Welcome Center Facebook page or browse www.arthurillinois.us. Next article, Arthur School Foundation reaps $4,000 donation. The Heart of Illinois Community Foundation, based in Decatur, recently made a donation of $4,000 to the Arthur School District No. 305 Education Foundation to be used toward the grants given each year by the Education Foundation in support of its teachers. For the upcoming school year, the District 305 Education Foundation has awarded almost $7,500 to faculty for various projects and needs, including such items as nightly reading and joust read, PBIS store and rewards, social work resources, activity supply for libraries, cardboard planetarium, weight room equipment, reading engagement materials, supplies for art students, and library book repair, among other things. The Education Foundation has given grants to our teachers for the last several years in roughly the same amount each year. This donation from the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation will enable the District 305 Education Foundation to provide even more in the way of grants next spring. The mission of Heart of Illinois is to connect the philanthropic goals of donors with the needs of Central Illinois. We serve Macon, Moultrie, and Piatt counties. This foundation has given several $1 million over the years to support scholarships, school organizations, and nonprofits in the area. The Lovington Working Women's Collective worked with the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation to make this donation possible. A special thanks to you. Thank you to the Lovington Group for making this happen. The District 305 Education Foundation is very appreciative of the efforts of all involved who support our teachers in District 305. Another article, Rose meets with Boundary Road Commissioner. Last week, State Senator Chapin Rose, Republican Mahomet, met with James Hendricks, Road Commissioner for Boundary Township at the Illinois State Capitol during Township Advocacy Day. Hendricks was in Springfield to advocate for the future of rural townships like his in Douglas County, emphasizing the importance of preserving township government and the vital services it provides to rural residents. Township government plays a vital role in serving rural communities efficiently and cost-effectively, said Senator Rose. I'll continue to stand with you to push back on these harmful bills and protect the voice and services of our townships provide. Township Advocacy Day brings local officials from across the state to the Capitol to meet with lawmakers and raise awareness about the unique needs and challenges of township governments. Another article, County Farm Bureau donates books to area libraries. Douglas County Farm Bureau recently donated 2 books to village and school libraries. Every Little Seed was written by Cynthia Shermerth and illustrated by Elisa Paganelli. This picture book tells the story of 3 generations of a gardening family working together. Outdoor Farm, Indoor Farm was written by Lindsay Metcalf and illustrated by Zin Lee. This book tells the story of best friends who are both from farm families. Emma lives in a traditional farm, and Ephraim's family has a farm that grows food inside a tall building. There's another article, Illinois Not Safe from Superbugs, Here's How We Fight Back, by John Conrad. Researchers at the University of Illinois Chicago are testing a new antibiotic that could revolutionize our fight against drug-resistant bacteria. The breakthrough could make it 100 million times more difficult for infectious microbes to transform into killer superbugs, yet this laboratory research may never translate into new medicines that save lives. Antimicrobial resistance gets little attention, but the statistics around the issue are startling. Between now and 2050, antibiotic resistance is forecast to contribute to nearly 170 million global deaths. That's almost 14 times the population of Illinois. Here in Illinois, drug-resistant pathogens aren't just on the doorstep, they're in the house. Our state accounts for 15% of all U.S. cases of deadly fungal superbug that's increasingly difficult to treat. In 2017, Illinois had just 11 cases of a deadly microbe known as C. auris. In 2022 alone, we had 276 cases. Absent novel medicines, the crisis will only deepen. According to the CDC, infections spiked for 6 or 7 high-priority superbugs over the last several years. New data projects that superbugs could cost the global economy $1 trillion by 2030 if we don't course correct. But a blockage in antibiotic development is keeping new treatments from reaching patients. The cost to develop new antibiotic routinely exceeds $1 billion, but annual sales often struggle to reach the $100 million mark. Why? Because over the years, medical professionals have recognized that overuse of antibiotics contributes to resistance, so effective treatments should be used only when absolutely necessary. This gap between development costs and limited revenues has created a graveyard of small biotech companies. Since 2013, the FDA has approved 10 antibiotics from small companies. Nearly all of these developers have faced financial ruin. Unless we find a way to reverse these trends, we could enter an era of medicine without protection against deadly infections. Common medical conditions like minor cuts or urinary tract infections could become untreatable and life-threatening. Routine surgeries from C-sections to joint replacement could become too risky to perform. Preventing this outcome requires rethinking how we incentivize antibiotic development. One proposed solution, the Pasteur Act, which would establish a subscription-like model for antimicrobial medicines. Under Pasteur, the federal government would enter into financial contracts with developers in exchange for access to newly developed antimicrobials. This would provide developers with a chance to earn a predictable return on their investment. This policy change would ignite a wave of research and investment in a critical yet struggling sector. For a state like Illinois, with its strong research institutions and growing biotech sector, an antibiotic development renaissance could translate into hundreds of jobs, increased investment, and a stronger economy. Every moment we delay, more companies could abandon antibiotic development and more lives would be lost to drug-resistant infections. The choice is stark: fix the market for antimicrobials or face a future where common infections become deadly threats. And we have some time for briefs. Arcola Senior Potluck. Arcola seniors are invited to attend a potluck at the Arcola Center on May 16th. Lunch will begin at 11:30 a.m. Seniors may bring a dish to share. Stamp out hunger in Tuscola. On Saturday, May 17th, place your donations of non-perishable food in bags beside your mailbox by 9 a.m. for pickup. Do not wait till your mail carrier's usual time. Monetary donations are also gratefully accepted. Please make checks payable to Sam Food Pantry. Write in the memo section, USPS Food Drive, mail to Sam Food Pantry, 901 North Prairie Street, Tuscola, Illinois, 61953. Museum hosts hands-on history. The Douglas County Museum will host a free hands-on history event on Saturday, June 7th from 2 to 4 p.m. at 700 South Main Street in Tuscola. Guests are invited to explore, discover, and learn through interactive exhibits that bring the past to life. That will also serve as a welcome reception for the museum's new director. Visitors can enjoy refreshments, participate in a 50-50 raffle, and receive a discount on new memberships. Sensory exhibits will be on display through June 14th. For more information, call 217-253-2535. USI Retirees Breakfast. Anyone who worked for the company USI, Quantum Equistar, Lyondell Bazell, or any of the other names in Tuscola is invited to attend a Retirees Breakfast from 8 a.m. Wednesday, May 21st at Yoder's Kitchen in Arthur. Call Dan Miller at 217-649-9656 with any questions. That is all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerkes saying goodbye and see you again next week.